Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization, government, and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. And by a socially moral committed to upholding the traditional Republican ideals that represent the American founders' original intent. We believe in God, family, and country. We believe in principles over politics. The TRA. Check our website at TNR. That's TNR. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. Appreciate everybody being with us tonight. We got some good guests lined up for you. We're going to have West from Chattanooga Property Rights. He actually had an go out to the Bundy Ranch. He can give us some insight that we may not have from the press. So look forward to that. And then a little later on, Jim Sandman. They are running 14th District, and we'll talk to them about to bring to the SEC for that district. And then Jerry Stone from Sumner County is going to talk about some of the rhino attacks that he's endured, that he and other conservatives have endured in Sumner County. Now, you know, you hear about it all the time. I mean, the establishment has pretty much declared war on the Tea Party. They've declared war at the national level. You've got Governor Haslam, who's supporting anybody will run against the true conservatives. And we know that he's behind a challenger to Senator May Beavers. See, there's other, Stacey Campfield, and several others. He is funding these rhinos to run against the solid conservatives that we have. And we don't have a huge number at it. So the event with Chris Christie weekend, and Haslam made the statement that, you know, the Republican Party, it's big enough. Well, apparently it's big enough for everybody except conservatives, because he's doing everything he can to drive conservatives out of the GOP. He's funding their challengers. He's stifling good legislators. I mean, if he could find every one of them, he would. There's no doubt in my mind. So we'll talk about that. And something that's coming up, I want you to know about, that's going to start on next Tuesday will be our first Ticked Off Tuesdays. We're going to start about 7:15. It's going to last 15 minutes, and here's the way it's going to work. You'll call in, get with me ahead, email me at dave@conservativenationmedia.com. And just need to know who you are, and you don't need to know everything. Obviously, no profanity, but you'll get 90 seconds to rant. You can rant. Well, it can be local politics, state politics, national, doesn't matter. So you get a 90-second rant, only profanity. So that starts right here next Tuesday. We're going to start at 7:15. We'll run till about 7:30. So Ticked Off Tuesdays, pass the word around. Hope to hear from you. All right, we've got some other events that are going on in the state that you need to be aware of. And this Thursday at the James E. Ward Cultural Center, 945 East Battle Parkway. And this is an ad from the 10th Amendment Center. There's actually several different groups, I think, that are involved with this. This is Freedom Pack. It's an annual event, and they're going to give away AR-15 and dinner for the conservatives, like Mae Beavers and Judd Matheny and others like that. And so that's an event. If you're going to it, you need to get online. Tennessee 10th Amendment Center, and you can download your tickets there at 6 o'clock in Lebanon. All right. Now, there's some other. Let's scroll down here a bit. Common Core, a discussion about Common Core, the Sumner United Tea Party. And it's going to, the special guest is Brenda Causey, and that's Thursday, June 5th, 6:30 p.m. at the Hendersonville VFW. That's 53 New Shackle Island. And they're going to learn about Common Core, and they're also taking up collections for the Veterans Food Pantry. So you can bring canned goods in for the Veterans Food Pantry. Brenda Causey is the Tennessee State Director of Concerned Women, appeared along policy experts on panels involving Common Core. And in Clarksville, actually this is Oak Grove, Kentucky, Clarksville, Tennessee, they're right out of Fort Campbell. There is a new chapter there, Act for America chapter, and the first meeting is going to be Monday, June the 9th at 7 o'clock at the American Legion Building, 41 across from Walmart. And that's 7 o'clock, June 9th, and our guest will be Kathy Henners from DailyRollCall.com. So that's an event if you're in the area, drop in for. And then Bridget Gabriel, the National ACT organization, she will be in Nashville June 23rd from 7 to 9 Bible Church, 1710 Woodmont Boulevard, Nashville, Tennessee. Registration is required. Bridget Gabriel, Nashville.eventbrite.com. That's Bridget Gabriel, Nashville.eventbrite.com. That's for June 23rd, and those tickets will probably sell out pretty quick. It's sponsored by ACT Middle Tennessee and the Tennessee Freedom Coalition. And a little bit about her, if you're not familiar with it, Bridget Gabriel, who came to the United States after losing her country of birth to militant Muslim fundamentalists during the 11th. She's one of the leading national security experts in the world and are now on the right of Islam. So those are some events that you're going to want to pass the word around. All right. Now we've got some more time here. Talk a little bit more about our guest. And actually, before we do that, because they'll be on here in just a few minutes, I want to talk a little bit about Bo Burnham. But this is the kind of thing that really should get under the skin. We have a guy who, by all accounts, was a traitor. The Army had listed this guy as a traitor. And, as a deserter. Let me clarify that, as a deserter. His unit, once he disappeared, no, by the way, he took like a knife, a compass, and some water, left his weapon. Had already back. They found a letter stating things to the effect that he was ashamed to be American and didn't agree with what we were doing in Afghanistan. And so later it turns out he's captured by the Taliban, or I guess maybe he linked up with the Taliban, whatever the case might be. Anyway, after 5 years, all of a sudden we're swapping Bergdahl. We're getting Bergdahl back. And we're going to give five of the most dangerous terrorists in Gitmo. We're going to release them. Well, we've already done it. I mean, they went to Dubai. Well, I'm sure soon be back with their terrorist buddies, killing Americans if they get the opportunity. Certainly killing other. And this, set aside for a minute what the real deal is on Bergdahl. It really. let's just say Bergdahl was legitimately captured, okay? The Taliban captured him, and there was no question about him, which I think from everything I've read, this guy was a deserter. I don't think there's probably more things that are going to come out about this that will disgust us and enrage us, but I don't think we're going to hear anything that exonerates this guy. But regardless, let's just say that he had done nothing wrong, he was just captured, and that he had been a good soldier, whatever. The bottom line, we're negotiating with terrorists. We just negotiated with a terrorist, and we just gave up a guy. We just gained this one guy back and gave up five of the worst, five of the absolute worst out of Gitmo. You know, negotiating with terrorists bad enough, releasing terrorists is now, hey, it's open season. If they feel they can capture some of our and hold them hostage so that other terrorists from Gitmo can be released, that's what they're going to do. This is just absolute insanity. So whether we shouldn't be doing it, you should not release five bloodthirsty terrorists to get one of our guys back. I mean, you cannot do that. But makes it worse. It's even worse since this guy apparently was a dirtbag. This guy was. And, you know, more and more this. And, of course, once again, the president took it upon himself to do this. Didn't notify him. Even not a conservative in anybody's book complained about how and that she wasn't notified. Nobody was notified. The president just did it. And, you know, if releasing terror is not an impeachable offense, I really don't done that I think he should be impeached for. And I know Senate might not remove him, but the House still ought to impeach the guy. You know, I compare that to a cop making the decision, well, I know this judge, and this judge is not going to do anything to this guy, so I a serious felony here, but I'm just going to let the guy go because the judge won't do anything. The House still has a responsibility to act. Conservative Nation, and we couldn't think of a better way. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and so stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design, Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Anyway, to the Bergdahl situation, or the deserter that was returned, and we released five Taliban. One of these guys that they released, and I can't recall his name, and I call it, they think he has been involved with the killing of thousands. Thousands. No doubt many of those are troops. Oh, that's another thing. While this guy... they spent some time looking for him. And in the process of looking for him, six other soldiers from his unit were killed looking for this guy. And, you know, I heard a clip of his father that was made. He sent to the government of Pakistan and to others. And he talked about the law in Pakistan. Taliban, for them, never those soldiers that were killed searching for his son. Never once. So, I remember thinking there is just something not right about this whole, I mean, who goes AWOL? Who deserts in Afghanistan? How insane do you have to be to desert in Afghanistan? But that's what this guy did, and now we've got him. I mean, hopefully the right thing will happen. This guy has proven to be a deserter, as everything indicates he was, and he should pay the price. He should certainly pay the price. Now, there's other other talk that he actually helped the Taliban, gave them explosives training and whatnot. Now, I don't know how much a private, not ex-military, so a private that's not in that field specifically, I don't know, your advisory is not necessarily an explosives expert. That doesn't mean he didn't know it before he came in or there's still information that he could have given the guys that would have, put our guys in danger. And the fact that, you know, we haven't heard anything, all of a sudden, boom, this guy is released. And these five others are released. And that's the really bad part. Like I say, good, bad, or bad deal. You never let terrorists like that go. We're not talking about a traditional, conventional war. Consider doing a prisoner swap with countries with legitimate arms. And we're talking about terrorists here, and that's just insane. So I hope that this is not something that's swept under the rug with time. I hope it's not one of those, fades. I hope that the few people that we have up in D.C. That have some integrity and have some legitimate concern about our military and about the sacrifices made by our military, and that they won't go. I hope that they will do everything they can and use every legal means of dealing with the situation, both with whether or not this guy will have a proper penalty there, and more importantly, with what the president did. He released terrorists. I mean, in my book, that's treason. I'm sorry. In my book, that is treason. May not fit the legal definition, but it is certainly wrong to be done about it, and hopefully it will be. Like I say, even if the Senate won't, and this is not something that we need to just let die down. And this, with everything that's going on, and you hear me harp on betrayal a lot. Well, this is just another betrayal. This really, you have the betrayal of unsecured borders, fighting overseas. You have the betrayal of Muslim Brotherhood at federal and while our fighting overseas, fighting dying, fighting the people with the same ideology that we appoint to positions of power in this country, that we appoint to the Department of Homeland Security. Oh, and by identify Islam as a threat. Not even Islam. And, of course, we know it's all radical. So that's part of the betrayal. And then you've got the whole VA. And then on top of that, you have this. I mean, I don't – if this president is not the Manchurian candidate, I guess there never was one. But this is just – it's an outrage, and it's – something's got to give. Something has got to give. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And I did just have Mark West on the line. Off. Hopefully he will come right back. And when he comes back on, the issue of property rights and He did get an opportunity to go out to the Bundy Ranch a while. Okay, there he is. Let's see if we can pull him back in. Mark, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
All right. Appreciate you coming on.
It's my pleasure to be here. Sure appreciate the opportunity to chat with you, Dave.
Well, property right. You just happened to have the opportunity around time or soon after all hoopla at the Bundy Ranch out in Utah broke, and you got to go out there and I guess meet with him and talk with him, and if you could maybe share a little bit of what you learned, because I'm sure there's some things the press didn't get right, just a hunch.
Oh, of course not. They always get things right. But seriously, though, I'm probably one of millions of people who watched what was going on out there via a lot of different sources and media and so forth, and was just dying to be there. But I was on another trip at the time, so I just couldn't get there. But it just so happened that several weeks later, I had to be out in Las Vegas anyway for a conference, so I tried to get in touch with them via a mutual friend, and he did give me their phone number, and I called out there and got in touch with Carol, Cliven's wife, and she said, come on out. So at the end of my conference, I drove out late afternoon one day and drove into the ranch, and it was quite an experience. Everything probably you could have imagined, and I'll certainly go into detail, but it was just a great couple of hours that if you sat down with anyone from any of your Liberty groups or Tea Party groups, any of your members that attend, and, you know, just farmer, rancher-type person, this is what the Bundys would be like, just another person who's a grassroots individual who loves our country, cares deeply, committed to it throughout of all his life, and found himself in the middle of a national controversy that really revealed a lot of things about our government.
Yeah. Now, what did he tell you that, you know, we certainly did not hear in the press, or even in some of the conservative press? I'm sure they didn't get all.
Well, you know, there's probably, if you read enough about it, you probably would have read some of the things that he told me, because there is, obviously, with the advent of the Internet and bloggers and certainly plenty of conservative voices out there, they covered a lot of the technicalities of the legal arguments and so forth. And I've actually written a blog post about my trip, posted photos, and also put some additional reading resources and links on the post. So if folks want to see this information, source some of this information, see some of the photos of my trip out there and his ranch and so forth, they can go to lifelibertyand.net, and it's the top post on that blog. But so that's lifelibertyand.net. But you know, when I pulled in, of course, there was security there. Grassroots individuals who just volunteered their time from around the country, who were staying there for weeks or months at a time. Now, some are committed through to the end of the year, sleeping in their pickup truck, you know, or in a tent. That's the level of commitment that people had and have for this man and this family after getting to know them. So, of course, they had to pass me through and make sure I was legit and let me in. And, of course, one of the things that struck me driving up to the ranch was just, you know, how the terrain. If you've been out in Nevada, you know that it's not desert in terms of sand, but it's desert in terms of just very desolate shrubbery, you know, brush type plants out there, just sparse throughout the desert, rocky mountains in the area. And that's what you, for 85 miles from Vegas up to Bunkerville, Nevada, is what you pass through. And you pull off at his exit and go about a mile or two, and you run into that the thing that you saw on TV all the time with those two big posts with "We the People" at the top.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty emotional, just just it was weighty when you drove into that area. There were flags everywhere still lining the road, and lots of posters still there. And so this was kind of ground zero for liberty in America back in April. And you pass that about another half a mile and turn down the little dirt road and drive about nearly a mile to his ranch. And again, the same type of terrain, although there's a river that flows through there called the, I think it's the Virgin River. I might have that wrong. I know there's the Virgin Mountains, but right along the edge of the river, there is pasture, and it's green and it's beautiful, you know, contrast against the brown desert, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's clearly where you'd want to establish a ranch, as they did decades ago. And so once I got in, walked into their ranch house, and there was Cliven, and he was there with his work jeans all dirtied and torn, and his shirt all dirtied and torn, and his hat on, and he'd been working. You know, that's what he does. He works for a living, you know, just out with his cattle. And we sat down, and he really shared his issues and how the whole thing went. But one of his big interesting points was, you know, we heard that it was all about the BLM and the Bundys, and it was the face-off between the two. And certainly that was the central point that we saw. That was the flash, so to speak. But Cliven was, his ire was really more directed towards, and frustration more towards his state, particularly his governor and his sheriff. Because the feds are just doing what bullies do. I mean, you expect bullies to do what they're going to do. I mean, if you're a kid in class and the bully comes up and picks on the weak guy, well, he's just doing what he's supposed to do. He's a bully.
Yeah.
But you expect the teacher to step in and say, no, not in my classroom, bully, you know. And
right.
That's what didn't happen in Nevada. The governor, so to speak, the classroom teacher said, no, not in our state, BLM. And even more importantly, perhaps, the sheriff and the counties didn't step up and support his constituent and drive the tyrant out of the county. And that's, of course, what groups like the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA, Sheriff Mack, tried to get sheriffs to understand is they have an enormous obligation, role, and duty to stand up for the constitutional rights of their citizens, which did not happen here. So what happened was it was left to first the Bundys and then, fortunately, patriots from across this country who gathered and weren't going to fire the first shot, but they certainly weren't going to back down.
Right.
And so, you know, that's really what we saw was a bully who was going to continue to push as far as he could until there was another force that he met with. And in this instance, it wasn't the force that our Constitution and our founding fathers believed or assumed should take place initially, and that's the sheriff and the state. But ultimately, it was the ultimate force, and that's we the people. Stood up to the feds, and fortunately they backed down this time.
How many showed up to support Bundy? Do you know?
He told me that he met personally and shook personally 4,000 to 5,000 hands over that period of time that happened, you know, a couple weeks or a week and a half or so. And you know, people were coming and going, so it wasn't a continuous flow, but at any given time you could have had 1,000+ people there, you know. And some obviously staying overnight. But, you know, looking back now, I'm glad I didn't go then because during the skirmish because I wouldn't have had the opportunity to sit down and get to know them
yeah.
and break bread with them and pray with them and enjoy some of their great roast beef from one of their organic raised cattle, you know. So it was a really special treat. That
actually worked out better for you that way.
It really did. It really did. And, you know, in addition to just talking about constitutional issues and so forth, it was also a very informational issue from the standpoint of ranching and farming out there and what they deal with.
Speaking of information, I've got to jump in here real quick. We're getting up against a hard break here.
Sure.
Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on our own. But what about... What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn your work around. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse, gear, and survival needs. Just go to our website and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from emergency food supplies. Here you'll That's Patriot Depot at ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. All right, we've got to take a short break here. Don't go away. Back.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Mark West, and he recently made a trip out to the Bundy Ranch. And Mark, we'll take up where we left off before the break. You were able to meet with Mr. Bundy and learn behind-the-scenes information that others might not be privy to, so I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, yeah. Another interesting little sideline, of course, probably a lot of us saw various kids of the Bundys on TV, but it was interesting to find out they have a large family, which you expect almost from ranchers, but they had perfect number of 7 sons and 7 daughters.
Oh, wow.
That was, so I think they might have been incentivized because of all the work around the ranch that they needed some free labor, you know. But
yeah,
I got to meet several of their children, and some of them are still working there on the ranch. But after we chatted for 40 minutes or so about really constitutional liberty issues and kind of given some of the things we talked about already, we of course ate some other great food. Carol was there, real gracious, but he then wanted to take me around the ranch to show me outside, and we went out and checked out some of their cattle. They had a lot of different pens. Some were just newborn calves, almost just a few weeks old, and some of them were ones that had been separated from their mothers by the feds, BLM, and so they were just kept in a pen, and we interacted with them briefly. Then we went out to a pen that had full-grown cattle that their cowboys had rounded up just in the last several days. It was interesting, me not being a farmer or rancher, that just hadn't considered this, but their grazing out there is so much different than back here in Tennessee. In Tennessee, actually my wife and I just bought a farm about a month or two ago, so we're learning a little bit about this, but you can put one or two cattle per acre or two back here in Tennessee, and they can get fed adequately with the hay on that land. Out in, right. in Nevada, based on the lack of vegetation and all, you can only put one to two cattle per 100 acres or so. And so
Good
it's,
Lord.
You know, yeah, significantly different. And he pointed out this mountain. It's called the Virgin Mountain Range, way off on the horizon. And he said, my cattle go from my ranch, which he owns 160 acres, all the way up to that mountain and up the side of the mountain looking for food. So they're currently obviously grazing with 1,000 head of cattle. They're grazing over thousands of acres of land. And some of his cattle he doesn't even see for an entire year or longer. In fact, in the pen that he took me to, there was one of the cattle in there had no markings on it, didn't have their brand, which is a V and an O on top of it. And they had no marking, and so his comment was, well, that's one that was actually born out on the range over the last year. I didn't even know I had it. You know, it's basically just happened out there. And when they rounded them up here, they have them, you know, have added another one to their herd, you know.
What, are there other?
But go ahead.
Are there other ranchers around?
That's a good question. 20 years ago in Clark County, which is the same county Las Vegas is in, and they're 85 miles away, pretty big county. This county had 52 ranchers, and
wow.
as of today, there's only one rancher left. Obviously, the Bundys, and most of those were. In essence, driven out of business by the regs, the federal agencies, and all the abusive tactics they've taken towards and adversarial tactics they've taken towards ranchers. He said they used to take 100 tractor trailer loads of cattle out of there each year in that area, and now they're down to 1 to 2 a year.
Wow. And, you know, you're saying 20 years ago there were 50-some, and now there's just him. And
right.
Your earlier point about he was actually more upset with his state government and his local sheriff, that means that the state government and the local sheriff and or sheriffs over the years have allowed this. I mean, so it's not just him that they didn't stand up for. He's just the last one that they haven't bothered to stand up for.
You're exactly right, and it's a perfect picture of what goes on, I think, throughout our government at all levels. I just met with our congressman today, had an appointment with him for 30 minutes in his office here in Chattanooga just to get feedback and share, and it was interesting that his solution to the problem in D.C., this was his solution, is to win the Senate in November and elect a Republican president in 2 years. And I said,
wow.
Well, Chuck, what happens if that doesn't happen? Okay, what's plan B? And the, you know, there isn't a plan B for these guys. It's all about, well, we got to get, there's only one solution, and it's win elections. And I know that is a solution. But you have to have another strategy, and your point is well taken. Obviously, over the last 20 years, politicians who were elected to protect the people were missing in action. They were derelict in their duties. And, you know, then it leaves people like Cliven Bundy to have to step up, and he's not trained to do what he did. And he may have, you know, had some missteps and miscues and misstatements, but this man's a patriot, you know. And I don't believe this thing is over, and he doesn't either. And we have to really stay vigilant. And if and when something escalates again, I think we've got to stand with them.
Well, and are there people that can be there fairly quick? Because my guess is the feds are going to wait till, you know, things get back to normal, so to speak, and then they're going to come in out of the blue, and he won't have the people there to help him. That's my concern.
That's a possibility. You know, as I've read quite a bit about this from people that are a lot smarter than me about the legal implications and approaches, I think they may go back to what they should have done in the first place. If they felt they had a case, they should have pursued it legally, which of course they did to some extent, but they could have filed liens. And of course, if and when he sold his cattle, they could have gotten their money then. Well, here's the other thing, that Bundy has offered to pay the money to any money that he owes to the state and or the county. He hasn't refused to pay it altogether. He just won't pay it to the federal government because he doesn't believe that they have a valid right to it. And, you know, we don't have time to get into all that issue, but on my website I've got lots of articles linked that will give a person an understanding as why legally Bundy is well within his rights to do what he's doing.
Well, grazing rights in 20 years. I'm not paying for 20 years. I mean, 10 years, 5 years. I have a hard time believing that whole story that, you know, he's just blown it off.
Yeah, he at one point, because he felt like the there was an issue over when he could graze and they were beginning to prevent some of his grazing for his cattle, particularly during a particular time of year. And he, you know, the BLM is the Bureau of Land Management. His perspective was he was paying them to manage the land that his cattle were grazing on. Well, they were not managing properly. In fact, they were telling him, you can't graze it during this time of year, or you can't graze on these parts because of the desert tortoise, and on. And ultimately,
right,
they were impacting on his ability on his livelihood, basically. And so
yeah,
he ultimately said, you know what, I'm firing you as my manager of this land. I've been here longer than you were in existence, and I'll pay my fees to the state that I'm a citizen of. And, states refused to take the money. They could have, and they could have taken it and paid it to the BLM if they wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, if nothing else. We definitely need more people that will stand up like that. I've got to get this in real quick. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself Paleocon. And right, it's clear that anti-communism. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger-flying on Free America, Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America is. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Call in if you have a question or a comment for Mark. I want to go back to what you said a minute ago. You're, apparently Chuck Fleischman is your representative, and his spiel about, well, we got to take the Senate and we got to win the presidency in 2016. A couple different thoughts on that real quick. Number one, let's assume that happens. I personally have zero confidence that even if they did that they would roll anything back. They didn't roll before when – I don't think they'll roll. And now, like I say, I'm giving them benefit of the doubt that they can win all of it. But my guess is even if they keep the Senate, in the 2 years for the presidential race, they're not going to do anything. They're going to say, well, we'll the presidency, and they're going to – the next Romney-like candidate that – gets slaughtered and would be worthless if he got elected. And I don't know, we've somehow got to put the onus back on the states, back to your earlier comment about the states not standing up for Bundy, and it's no different here. I mean, we have federal land in Tennessee, too. So.
Yeah, and by the way, you are breaking up. I'm hearing about every
about every fifth or sixth word you break up. But I'm, I think I'm making out what you're saying, and I don't know if I'm breaking up too. But I can hear you good. I got the gist of what you're saying. But yeah, you know, my response to my congressman was the exact point you made, was that first, I don't think that's a strategy that you can just bank on, number one. But number two, I don't have any confidence based on past track record that they'll do the right thing if they were in power. I mean, look at what all happened during the Bush era. I don't personally believe that there is. In fact, I told them this. I hate to be fatalistic and pessimistic, but I think Washington is perhaps too far gone to salvage at this point, because there's not only is it a huge monstrosity, but there's no will up there by either party.
Yeah.
And they're more interested in power than anything else and who's ruling. So ultimately, you know, my comment to him was, our focus is state and local at this point.
Yeah.
We've got to build a firewall against Washington. And if Nevada was a great picture of what happens when you don't have a firewall. On the flip side,
yeah,
you have Utah, which is putting in, they've got a pretty solid governor. I don't know him well, but in terms of property rights and trying to get their property back from the feds and all that, they are attempting to do that and to take back control of land that is currently owned by the feds. So I think we've got to just continue to reassert our focus here in Tennessee, just like your program here is, I guess, dedicated to that inside Tennessee. We've got to shore up what we've got here within Tennessee at Nashville and, of course, on my neck of the woods over here in Chattanooga.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that? Who needs support out your way?
Actually, yes, and I missed part of your comment, but you talked about support out our way. We've got an interesting race in House District 27, and that's formerly Richard Floyd, who has resigned or retired for personal health reasons, and there is a candidate that we haven't officially endorsed yet, and I don't actually want to do it on the radio here because we're trying to wait for the timing, but it is an interesting race, and folks are interested in what's going on over here in that race, they might want to just get in touch with me, because we'll be probably endorsing a candidate here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. Good. Can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah, that's better.
Good. Okay. I agree with you. It's at the state level. And if we can't get our states to stand up, it's a lost cause. It's going to take all states to put pressure on the feds to get back within the limits of the Constitution. And I'm disappointed with the governor we have, the governor that we may very well be stuck with for another 4 years. We really couldn't have come at a worse time. We really needed a strong, would stand up to the federal government, and we didn't get that.
No.
But hopefully we get enough people in the legislature that can maybe force his hands on some things. And, the SEC, of course, would have some impact on that if you can get more conservatives, constitutional conservatives, elected to the SEC. That could maybe help us some.
Well, and see, what you've just done is you've said, okay, we don't have this position, so let's back up to this position. And we may not have everything there, so let's back up to this position. You just described a plan A, B, and C, you know. And I just don't see that in Washington. There's not a plan B or C or D or E, you know. There's just another plan A. And plan A right now is, of course, try to get their party elected. Plan A1 is to gripe and complain and scream until that happens, but do really nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Use none of the power.
And all the griping and complaining and screaming is supposed to quiet down the grassroots to convince us that they're concerned. Meanwhile, they do nothing. You know. Meanwhile, no action is taken. Meanwhile, people like Ted Cruz, when they do stand up, are abandoned on the Senate floor, you know.
Yeah. They'll have another hearing, and that's frustrating. Now, you know, there is Constitution Party in Tennessee, and for the record, even though I doubted the SEC, because at this point in time, any and every conservative, whether they're still in the Republican Party or kind of given up, hope of fixing it solely from the inside, those are people we need to look at. I mean, I do have somebody to vote for governor, and it'll be Sean Crowell, who's running on the Constitution Party platform. But I think it's going to take any and everything we can do to get conservatives, constitutional conservatives, elected. And I don't know that we can do that, but I think it's what we have to try.
Well, I agree. We've got to get behind the conservatives. We have to pick our battles wisely. You know, we want to win some of our battles. We don't want to lose them all, and not just for the sake of winning, but also because the grassroots need to see some wins. So we can't take on every federal agency if we're the Cliven Bundys. We can only take on the BLM, you know.
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, we've had some good individuals elected in the last couple of sessions. I know our own Representative Mike Carter over here, he's not technically my state rep, but he lives 3 miles from me, so he's the guy I prefer the most in Chattanooga area, and you know, he's the guy that really led the charge on this whole annexation fight over this last 2 years, and ultimately prevailed on. And it was the power of the grassroots really that enabled or supported him through that whole process. So
there's a guy named Bill Hopped who did a lot of work on that as well, and he did great effort on his part, and other people that put a lot into getting that. And you know, it's a small victory, but it was needed, and it involved property rights, and I think that's something. You know, it wasn't quite a BLM situation, but it wasn't good either. It was, you know, hey, a city decides to annex you, they can annex you, and now they can't just do that anymore.
Yeah,
it was
a big issue over here in Chattanooga, because Chattanooga's been the Pac-Man of gobbling up property, and so that pretty much drove a stake in the heart of Chattanooga's ambitious growth plans. You know, without the people agreeing to it and accepting it. So
now what are you guys doing? And you're in the Chattanooga Tea Party, correct?
That's right, huh?
The Chattanooga Tea Party, that's the one you're in?
Yeah, Chattanooga Tea Party, correct.
Okay. Now what are some other things that you guys are working on? And are your numbers up or down from a couple of years ago?
Well, we've seen ups and downs. We're on an uptick right now. The last several meetings, we've had even over 100 in attendance, and at the last couple of our meetings, this last one we had 70. But our focus the last couple meetings and going over the next two meetings have been local elections. We really have zeroed in on local elections, getting involved in local candidate campaigns. Some of the members of the Chattanooga Tea Party and a couple of outside Republicans came together and formed a PAC last year and got involved in some local city elections. And we had some good people donate to the organization, and we were able to influence three elections in the city council and get three conservative city councilmen elected last March. And then that was a real win. So that has been kind of an inspiration to us to continue to focus on local battles and local elections. Yeah. So
those locals feed the state, and the state feeds the feds. And you know, we definitely don't need any more Bob Corkers. So the more conservatives you can get in that.
You're exactly right, and I hate to say he was our mayor. So we were the ones that are responsible for him moving on up to where he is now, and not real proud of that. But you know, we weren't around then in terms of the organization. But we'll continue looking for those strong local candidates who will over time prove their conservatism and be able to continue to help them along.
Yeah. Now, are you guys pretty big in the Common Core fight as well?
Yeah, we have fought it. Karen Bracken is just up the road in Bradley County. Actually, she's in Polk County, but that's just outside of Bradley County here. And she has been a person who has obviously been a real leader in the state and continue to keep us posted on those types of issues, and we've shared them with our membership.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's on that and the Agenda 21. I think you guys part of that 16? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we've had her speak about the Agenda 21. But, yes, she is – I'm sorry. Yes, we are part of Thrive 2055, which is the 16-county regional Agenda 21 plan, which there is a Thrive 2055 meeting tomorrow that several of us will be attending. We've attended a number of their others. It's one of these gimmick meetings that they, you know, purport to arrive at consensus, and they lead you to the decision, you know, that they want. So,
yeah. Yeah. Now, and see, that's something too, you know, talk about property rights, Agenda 21. You can't do it with Agenda 21, that's for sure. And so people need to wake up to that fact and fight it wherever they can.
What we have done in that regard is when we've had new candidates running for election, we have been able to use those issues like Agenda 21, Common Core, and others to test their knowledge. And when they come up short, if, you know, we're able to educate them, and if they get on board with us, then we support them, and then once they get elected, and we've had this happen in several instances, that we have an educated member of the county commission, let's say, or the city council, that now is somewhat empowered because they have been informed of something that a lot of people just don't know anything about. I mean, you talk about, on the surface, a regional plan, it sounds beautiful, you know. You talk about just the skeletal parts of Agenda 21, it sounds ethereal. It sounds like, you know, just we're going to be in paradise, you know. So why wouldn't some politician who doesn't look any deeper than what they tell them not sign on? So we've got to educate them, and that's part of the process of, I think, Tea Party and Liberty groups is, we're teachers, not just activists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mark, we've only got a couple minutes left. I really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything that you'd like to touch on before you go?
Well, no, I just got to say about the Bundys. You know, until you really meet someone, you don't really know who they are. I mean, you can read a lot about people. They get characterized one way or another in the media. Cliven got some of his language misinterpreted after this whole incident, and I really wanted to check him out and find him out for myself and whether he's the real deal. And I got to tell you, he's the real deal. He may not be perfect. Yeah. Last time I checked, I'm not either. But he's just down-to-earth, liberty-minded, grassroots patriot. I tell you, I'll leave you with his ranch sign, which tells you what he does. It says the Bundy Ranch, and below it says cattle, melons, and kids. And, you know, he raises cattle, they grow melons, and they've got a bunch of kids. And they're just a quality family and someone that you'd love to break bread with. And if you had to be on the fighting front lines of something, you'd want them right by your side, too.
Well, I hope everything turns out well for them. Hopefully there's people that came to their aid come back if needed to hopefully scare off the feds. But I appreciate the insight and appreciate you coming on.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share the experience with your listeners, Dave, and I want to thank you for your willingness to take this this show on personally and commit your time and resources to informing Tennesseans. So thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. And when you figure out who you guys want to endorse, maybe we can have you come back on and either have them come back on or you guys come back on and talk about them.
Yeah, we've got a forum for those candidates in 2 weeks from this Thursday, so I don't want to really endorse until after that forum. But we'll get you in the loop.
Okay. Hey, thanks again. Appreciate you. Take care, and we'll talk to you again later.
All right. Thanks, Dave. God bless. Bye.
All right. Don't go away. A couple minutes break, and then we'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And our next guest, we have Jim Sandman and Lynn Davis, and they are 14th District. And Jim and Lynn, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you, Dave.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. 14th Senate District, what counties does that cover?
That covers the eastern half of Rutherford County and then all of Marshall, Bedford, Moore, and Lincoln County.
Okay, pretty good chunk of land there.
Yes.
And go ahead and I'll let you guys tell a little bit about yourself, you know, what it is you hope to accomplish once you get on the SEC. Lynn, we'll start with you.
Okay, great. Again, my name is Lynn Davis. I actually currently live out in Las Casas. I've been married to Gary for about 34 years. Actually, on Friday will be our 34-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
As well as we have a 6-year-old granddaughter, and that's her birthday that day as well. Been a homeschool mom for about 18 years. Our children are grown, so they were in the school system, kindergarten only, and a little bit of first grade. That was our first child. So I was blessed to be able to stay at home while my raise my children. And so once the kids were grown, I decided I'd get out. And I guess because I was at home for so long, I decided to get involved in a lot of stuff. And I haven't stopped since then. So I'm very involved. Currently serve on the local GOP executive committee here in Rutherford County. Served on many different boards. I work all the major elections, been doing that for about 17 years, so I've got to see a little side of many things. But anyway, I stay involved, and I think it's very important to do that. And so serving on the SEC would be an honor, and, you know, I believe I bring conservative values to the table, maybe a little more conservative than most, but I'm excited about it. It certainly has been a a trip as far as Jim can say. We're kind of having to go lots of miles to we cover a lot of area, but meeting some wonderful constitutional conservative men and women along our way, and I get more and more excited. I'm tired, but it's very exciting. So, but anyway, thank you for having us on.
Okay, and we'll have some more questions for you here. Your turn.
Yes, I'm originally from Virginia. I'm the son of a Baptist preacher, and my mom was a school teacher. My father also served in World War II in the Navy. I'm retired U.S. Navy submarine service. I moved to Tennessee in 1997 at that point, and I'm married for 29 years coming up soon, and I've got two grown sons with two beautiful daughters-in-law. And I went to it was 1999 when I started getting actively into the grassroots movement and started learning a lot about what the Constitution really means that I had sworn an oath to back in 1977 originally, and have grown to a real love and appreciation for the Constitution and limited government, and a big believer in what Jefferson said about the best, that government is best that governs least. So we need to have a much more scaled-down federal government, but at the state level even so as well, and the more local government that we have, the better, as many of your previous guests talked about just this evening. Some of my favorite Americans, of course, George Washington, who's known for saying that government is not reason, it is not eloquent, it is force, and like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. So we must continually watch the size of the government and scale it down. Of course, Reagan had a few good quotes as well, saying that government is like a baby, an alimentary canal with a big appetite at one end and no sense of responsibility at the other.
That's good.
reminds me of a bumper sticker I used to have on my car. Politicians and diapers need changing for the same reason.
Yes.
And
I
so
agree,
Lynn
yeah.
and I, yeah, Lynn and I are very blessed and privileged to be asked to run by some of our Tea Party friends, both from Campaign for Liberty or 912 Project and other groups like that, asked to run. And so we decided to take it up. And the election is August the 7th around the area. The early voting begins July the 18th. And I also live in Las Casas, just down the road a little bit from Lynn, and we're both in Joe Carr country. So we'd like to a shout out for Joe Carr and his Beat Lamar campaign. So
yes, yes,
excited about that. I currently serve as the commander of American Legion Post 141 in Murfreesboro, and also I'm a member of the local submarine veterans group that meets. And I attend Calvary Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, and really active in the music ministry there. That's a little bit about me. One of my other favorite Americans is John Adams, who said that our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So we must.
Yeah, and
have
I think
a
we're
citizen.
Seeing that. We are.
Yeah, exactly.
Played out every day, and it's been playing out for quite a while. By the way, for your service in the submarines, I don't know how you thank you for it.
Well, thank you for your service as well.
Thank you.
In the Army.
Yeah, I was retired from the Army a few years back. Anyway,
right.
SEC, if we had a maybe we could accomplish a little more. But let me just hear from both of you on what you hope to accomplish in the SEC if you get elected.
Well, several things. One of the main things is to educate people about who the heck the SEC is. A lot of Republicans can't even name their state senator, much less who their state executive committeeman is. So we want to, you know, educate, as your previous guest, I believe his name was Mark West, was saying, we're teachers.
Yeah.
We want to educate people on the proper role of government and the proper role of the SEC. We want to be their voice in the Tennessee GOP. We want to broaden the Tennessee GOP base to include the voices from those, you know, libertarians and the Constitution Party and just folks that have a real love for and appreciation for the Constitution seem to be, and the Tea Party seem to be, you know, squelched at the by the establishment too often. So we want to see a broadening of the Tennessee GOP base. One of the things we'll consider as well is, and this is something that we'll have to get a feel for around the area from voters, and that is whether or not to consider having closed primaries so that folks from the other party can come in and continue to vote for moderate Republicans.
Let me ask a question, and for both of you. Is there any reason why closed the primaries? I mean, I cannot imagine a good reason for not closing a primary. Republican would not want to close primaries.
Well,
I think – go ahead, Lynn.
I was just going to say there's a real good reason as to why some would not want that, because so many of our so-called Republican conservatives have a lot of friends that cross the line to vote them in. You know, just like this year, since I serve on the executive committee locally, we decided to, first time to my knowledge, men and women that were running for local government, we decided to check their voting records and see if they were true bona fide Republicans. And don't think that's been done in the past, and we had to turn away some people. Unfortunately, it was sent to the SEC level, and they were still permitted to run. You know, there's just things that happen that make no sense, you know, to me. But I guess the reason that I decided to run is through my travel throughout, and Jim and I both are traveling over meeting a lot of different – there are wonderful men and women out there, conservatives, that feel just like we all do, but they're tired, they're weary, and they're frustrated. And I think for me, I'd like to bring back the excitement that – maybe there is a chance for our country. I mean, you know, on the national level, it's bad enough, but on local level, we still have some work to be done. But there are a group of us that have turned away for whatever reason. I'd like to be a part of bringing us all back together again, and because there's some great men and women out there that want to get involved again. And so, you know, my thing would be just to maybe bring us together and bring back the excitement, because we do. There's many of us that think us the same way. We are, you know, conservatives, true constitutional conservatives. So we just need to rally each other together. Also, something else that we've started with our GOP local group, we've decided or have started having some forums to educate you know, the town and the people of, you know, who all these people are that's running. And we've had, you know, a couple hundred people into some of these forums, which is a great thing. You know, many, many groups have come together. And to me, that's part of growing the party. Unfortunately, we still have some involved that do not want to, they want to hold it. They want to, they don't want the growth.
They want the power. Yeah.
They want the power. And I think that's the one thing that I'm tired of. I'm tired of the same old game that I've seen and heard for so long. And I've been involved a long time. And it's just going to take more of us coming together. We can't do it alone. So we need help.
I can't agree with you more, Lynn. That reminds me, Dave, of a Peanuts comic that I recently posted on my Facebook page where Linus says to Lucy, "School president? Me?" And Lucy says, "Why not? I'll be your campaign manager." And Linus says, "But I could never be school president. Think of the work. Think of the responsibility." And Lucy says, "Think of the power." And then Linus gets
an evil smile on his face,
and he says, I'll do it.
Yep. I got to step in here real quick. America is the freest country on earth.
Yes.
The Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Obolosky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew. 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Pelosi is Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always is. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking with Lynn Davis and Jim Sandman. 14th District. They're running for the SEC. And I'm turning it back over to you, Jim. Cut in there. But, you know, you mentioned the power. And that's – they want the power, but I don't – much good with it, especially when it comes to anything constitutional or conservative. You know, even in Tennessee, a supposedly red state, it's all we can do to get – even decent even moderately conservative legislation through.
So true. Power really draws a lot of people out of what they swore an oath to do, and that's been a problem since the beginning of man. And without, like John Adams said, without a moral and religious people that stick to their principles, then you're going to have folks that abuse that power. And as Benjamin Franklin said, you know, when we have less morals, we're going to need more masters. So we need to have a society that's principled and stick to their oaths. I like what Lynn was saying. There's a lot of wonderful constitutional conservative citizens around Tennessee and America. That's a layer of strength that needs to continue to you know, make their voice heard. And so this is both Lynn and I's first time to be asked to run for an office. So we're very excited about that. And so one of the things that we will do is stick to principle if we get elected. We do promise to do that. And that's something that we're used to doing throughout our lives. And and I know that it reminds me of another quote, one of my favorites from Mark Twain, and he said, sometimes I wonder whether the world is being run by smart people who are putting us on or by imbeciles who really mean it. And I think it's a combination of both. There's some smart people and there's some imbeciles, and they're sincere, but they're not sure what they're doing.
Sincere imbeciles.
Many of them know what they're doing. They have an agenda. But, some of them don't know. They're unwitting accomplices. But
now, are both of you going to push for just kind of take the temperature of the populace on primary?
Oh, me personally. Yes, I'm for it. Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Because I don't understand why anybody wouldn't be, regardless of your party. I wouldn't think you would want other people from the other party to be able to choose your candidate.
Why?
See, that's how we got to have them. That's how we get those type of people and change things in order to get good people in there. You got to stop letting the Dems elect their candidates.
Yeah, that's right. So the State Executive Committee, for those that are not as familiar, they are the ruling body of the Tennessee GOP for this state, and they will establish, they do the rules and the policies that help bring out the success of the Republican Party and for the broadening of its base. That's one of the purposes of the SEC. Also, they help to guide the county Republican parties as well. And so
other rules that either one of you would like to see added to the SEC? Some other rule changes you'd like to make?
Well, At this point, we'll want to research those and see where they're currently standing and listen to the folks. At this point, I don't have any other comments about that, but we'll research that.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn?
Same thing. Nothing really comes to mind right at the moment. The thing that I'd like to focus on also, I'm not sure how we would detain it, but in the last, the primary that we just had, I think it ended up being a 9%. 9% of people voted in the primary. And so just a change,
mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not sure how to go about that, but to change the mindset of folks to get out there and realize how important it is, even the primary, have people say, I only vote in the general election. Well, the primaries are very important, but just the fact that people stay home, they're just not engaged. So I think that's something that we need to focus on as well, and that's why I think the forums that we've been having have worked so great. You bring people together to hear what, your candidates have to say about certain issues, but those types of things are things that I think we need to focus on I'm not sure what that would be, but certainly we need to get more people involved.
I was going to say that Lynn was talking about these forums. The next one in Rutherford County is a week from tonight, Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
On the square in Murfreesboro at the Three Brothers Deli. And that particular forum will feature not only Lynn and I, but James Gann and Michelle Perkins, the other 13th District State Executive Committee candidates as well. And we'll help educate the attendees about the SEC at that forum.
Okay. Lynn, there were some challenges to some people that were on the ballot and in terms of whether or not based on their voting record. And when it was all said and done, some of them were still allowed. Some of the challenges might not have been legitimate challenges. Maybe I think there were some who they were. Maybe were challenged because they, the challenge was legitimate because they didn't have a Republican. But ultimately, who gets to make the decision? It's the county, it's the GOP, the state chair, correct? Which is currently
That's
Chris
right.
Devaney?
That is correct. Sent to the, that is correct,
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we have a couple of our county commissioners who have had some, had some issues with the law. And for some reason, they're still serving. And to me, that's just unheard of. But, where does that take place? We take it from the local level to the state level, and then things are not – it's not changed. We can recommend, but that's as far as that's the power that we have. It goes to the state level. So it's,
right.
It's, yeah.
And,
but it's ultimately the chairman,
mm-hmm.
correct? It's the chair.
Yes.
The
that
SEC.
That is correct. Uh-huh. That is
and
correct.
And one thing that you asked about other policies and other rules, that does bring to mind the idea that that seems to be too much power in the chairman of the state GOP. He's the last word on who can be a bona fide Republican.
Yeah, yeah. And that's top down. That's a top down approach. I would think that you would want your county chairs to have a little more. I would think that you would want your county chairs to be part of the SEC. I mean, that would be a
mm-hmm.
way county input. I'm not saying that you do away with the
mm-hmm.
current positions, but I would say as an addition to, you have the county chairs as part of the overall seat. That way you have a connection. It's not all top down.
Right. That's probably not a bad idea, actually.
I would agree.
And you might get a little more luck because I think I don't think anybody, regardless of whether you're talking politics or any type of organ, I don't think anybody likes to be dictated to from the top. And especially when the one person has the ultimate say. And from what the SEC, some of the people that there were some people that were given the okay. You really have to wonder how they were given the okay. And you really feel like balanced because we know they're conservative. And oh, sin of all sins, they may have criticized Lamar Alley.
Oh, yeah. That's true. As far as Common Core, that's an issue that both Lynn and I are also fighting in as much as we can as well, and educating people about that. That's a good state, local level issue that we feel very strongly about. And as well as I've been involved with the fight against Agenda 21 as well. Your previous guest mentioned Karen Bracken. She's a great friend.
Oh yeah,
and an ally in that fight.
You mentioned Agenda 21, and I think it was 2 years ago, the GOP at the national resolution against Agenda 21. I don't think we passed that. I can't remember by the state legislature on a 21.
You're cutting in and out.
Yeah, cutting in and out quite often. It's really we're missing a lot of what you're saying.
The problem is.
Yeah,
okay,
it's very
is that
hard
better?
To hear.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you.
But yes, the House did pass that. The governor never signed the anti-Agenda 21 resolution, but the House passed it.
Okay.
I was there in the chamber when that occurred.
Maybe that's something that we could get. If we had a conservative SEC, we could get the state party to pass resolutions against Agenda 21, things like that.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, get a little conversation going anyway.
For sure. That's another local issue that comes down from not only the state through the states and through the federal agencies, but of course ultimately up through the international level at the United Nations.
Yeah. Well, we've only got some. You guys are having some trouble hearing me. We've got a couple minutes left, so I want to give each of you a minute to fill out. Finish with whatever you want to get across. So, Lynn, we'll go start with you. I'll give you a minute, and then we'll go back to Jim, and then we'll.
Great. Well, again, thank you for having us. Nice to be on your show. Thank you for what you do. Again, my name is Lynn Davis. I'm running for SEC for the 14th, I would treasure the vote of those, that's in that district. I will. Serve as a constitutional conservative candidate, and I look forward to it. I'm excited about it. August the 7th. So thank you again.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Dave, sir, very much. Both Lynn and I can be found on Facebook. Just search for our names and then also State Executive Committee, and you'll find our campaign page as well. And mine is facebook.com/Jim4TN. Jim for Tennessee. Jim for TN, if people want to look at that. But thanks again, Dave. Thank you again for your service. And we are excited about being able to bring a constitutional conservative voice and into this race. So appreciate your support.
Well, thank you. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Sometime before the election. Thanks again. God bless both of you. I appreciate you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Good night. All right. Well, we're up against a hard break here, so we'll go ahead and break, and then we'll come back, and soon after we and some of the rhino problems in Sumner County. Don't go away. Back.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on The Michael Behrman Show.
Hit me!
Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 71 problems tonight. I had him on. So he'll call back. I do have a caller on question. Caller?
First, you're going in and out, so it may make this conversation a little bit difficult. But I wanted to ask in regards to the industrial hemp bill that Haslam just signed into law. I wanted to give a shout-out to Haslam. Unfortunately, we did get him to the state. And sometimes he's good and sometimes he's very, very bad. But in this particular case, he's been very, very good to sign this into law, where he did not sign the Agenda 21 bill. And if you were not aware, we have the strongest language to allow this to happen in our state and the entire country.
What law was that again?
The industrial hemp bill. Signed into law on the 27th. We have the strongest wording of any bill that's been produced throughout the country.
Okay.
And the first planting of the industrial hemp will actually begin November 2014. I'm having great difficulty finding out what the licensing fee is. I didn't know if you had any information.
Yeah. No. Actually, I don't, and I apologize. I'm going to have to let you go. I have information on it tonight, and I do have my next guest in the queue. So I do appreciate you tuning in. Don't want to run you off. I don't have any answers for you on that one, but we will see what we can find out.
Let me just throw this out here real quick. If you want to change things in Tennessee for independent candidates or anybody that goes against the Republican Party, you have to change the League of Women Voters. Because I have worked with independent candidates and those that were running against Republican candidates in 2008, 2010, and 2012. And what they say is that they will not allow them on the debate stage because they don't have enough offices throughout the state. They're not including Facebook.
All right. Okay. Well, hey, great information, but I've got to get my next guest, and I appreciate you coming on. All right. Jerry?
Yes, David.
Okay, I'm having technical issues tonight. Apparently people are having trouble hearing me, but I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully you'll have a little better luck hearing me than some of the other guests have.
Yeah, I was listening earlier. You were breaking up a lot, but you're clear right now.
Okay, I guess I got to hold this thing just right. I don't know what the problem is. Jerry Stone from Sumner County, former if I remember.
You're cutting out again.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to talk less than I usually do. You're going to tell us about the rioting problem in Sumner County, right?
Yeah, let me give you a little background. 2 years ago, Deborah Meggert was defeated by Courtney Rogers, and that was in national news. And about that same time, the Sumner County school system didn't open schools in the fall on time, trying to force the county commission into raising taxes. Well, that didn't work. And since that time, Meggert and an organization formed at the time the schools were closed called Strong Sumner Schools have joined forces with the local Democrats. In fact, the Strong Schools formed by local liberal Democrats. And they've joined forces with some rhinos, and they removed every conservative county commissioner in the May primary. They won 6 seats outright, and they're probably going to pick up another 2 in the August election. And they're running a candidate against Courtney Rogers in August in the primary that's raised a tremendous amount of money already. We estimate they spent probably $50,000 in the county commission races in Sumner County. And we're afraid they're going to try to carry this statewide.
Hmm. Now, what's the name of that organization again?
It's Strong Sumner Schools, or they just most of the time go by the name of Strong Schools, but they're part of an umbrella organization that's statewide made up of liberal groups. And they joined forces with the Rhinos County and the remnants of Deborah Maggard's organization and with the school system. They turned out all the school employees. We had over twice the turnout for primaries that we normally have. And I got more votes this time than I've ever gotten, and still was beat substantially by this turnout. So it was a well-organized, well-funded, messaged group. I mean, it was a page right out of the Obama campaign. You create a phony issue that Sumner County schools are not funded well enough, then you demonize the sitting people that's in office and marginalize them, and they've done their job.
And, of course, you get the teachers and all their families. They're going to go against you.
Yeah, we usually have something on the order of 6-7% turnout for a primary. We had over 11%. In some districts, we had 25%. turnout, which is just almost unheard of, and of course they took advantage of the primary system because we do have primaries at the local level in Sumner County, and they knew the turnout is normally low, and it was a well done plan, well organized, well executed, well financed. Some of the biggest contributors. If you go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I said, if you go, we're looking at the financial reports now, and of course the last reports are not due out for a while yet, but there's a lot of big Democrat contributors to their campaign. So, and as one of your earlier guests was talking about, we had a lot of people who've never voted Republican running as Republican candidates in this election, again, approved by the state party.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have an opinion of Devaney, but Devaney or no Devaney, that's too much power for one person to have.
I agree.
Now,
the only way we see to moderate it is to change some of the seats on the SEC, and there'll be some conservative candidates running for that in our district. So.
Yeah. Well, I'd like pass a rule that limited the chairman, regardless of who the chairman is. It's not just an issue of Devaney. That's just too much power. Any ideas how to counter this organization there in Sumner County, this Sumner Schools group?
the only way we are working on, the only thing we can think of, is to expose them for who they are. The core group, the founders of it, are all way left Democrats. I mean, they were, some of them were delegates to Obama's convention, promoters of homosexual rights, same-sex marriage. I mean, the whole litany of left-wing Democrat issues. And they managed to recruit a lot of soccer moms, you know, who think if little Johnny just had another $1,000 spent on him, he'd be a rocket scientist. They hadn't learned yet that money's not the do all and end all in education. And that's the only way that we know to counter it, and other than try to organize and out organize them. But
right.
It was a bloodbath.
And why is this a statewide deal? I mean, I guess some of the names were from all over.
Yeah, you're cutting out pretty bad again. Yes, some of the money in the campaign was outside the county. From one big contributor was a known Obama bundler. They put money in these local races, and they're putting it in. As the guy that's running against Courtney Rogers in August is the name Lynn Silverman, and again, a lot of big Democrat money coming into that campaign. So they can't win. The Democrats don't even run in Sumner County because they can't win. So they figured out a new way to do it, and that's to infiltrate the Republican Party. And we got people so desperate to get back in power that they made league with the devil, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with the now, did this group, did they mention Common Core at all?
Well, that's
strictly
that's
funding.
One of their. Yeah, that's one of their spots that they can be attacked on. Most of them are Common Core supporters. The core leadership group is. Now, once you get outside the leadership group, a lot of the soccer moms that have joined up with them, they're not in favor of Common Core. But, again, they don't know what's going on in the background. A Silverman,
right,
who's going to be running against Courtney is a Common Core supporter. Several of the commissioners that were newly elected in the primary are also Common Core supporters, so it's going to be a rude awakening to folks come this fall when they take office.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
well,
the primary is the election in Sumner County, and most offices, if you win the Republican primary, you're elected.
Now, how would you rate overall county in terms of what percentage of the Republicans are conservative versus Rhino? Any ideas?
That's difficult to say. I don't know. The most active people, right now the county executive committee is dominated by conservatives, but the word on the street is that that's going to try to be reversed again by this group organized at the next election of local leaders in their party. So we'll see.
You know, you mentioned Deborah Maggard, and of course she got support when she was running against Courtney. She got support from Haslam and others. I'm wondering,
right,
group.
You cut out completely. I didn't hear the question.
I said I want that made its way into this organization.
Again, I'm not hearing your question. I'm not hearing your question.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I wonder if there's any Haslam money that made its way into this venture, this Sumner Schools deal.
Not that I'm aware of now, but again, when the final financial reports are filed for the primary, we'll find out. I mean, they done multiple mail-outs in my district. And the whole Strong Schools organization, they formed a PAC, only reported about $4,500 worth of expenditures prior to Election Day. But they spent nearly that much in my district alone. So we're going to find out how much money was actually spent countywide when the new financial reports come out, and we'll also probably see where some more of the money came from.
Yeah.
It might be connected with them.
Wouldn't be a bit surprised.
No, I wouldn't either. I just, of course, I'm an old fella. I'm 71 years old, been a Republican all my life, and I'm seeing the party commit suicide by being Democrat light. You know, we're never going to win another election if we're Democrat lights.
Yeah. Well, and it's at all levels, you know, the national level. You know, I don't. It's a shame. It's just a flat out shame.
It is.
I'd like to see, especially in Tennessee, we have people in the, you know, but at the legislature, it's pink at best.
Yeah, it's a shame that you in name you control it by, but in ideology you really don't get anything accomplished without a lot of extra effort. John Harris, one of my favorite speakers, and
he's great.
He complains all. Yeah, he is. He complains all the time, of course, about having a super majority and you still can't accomplish anything.
Yeah, yeah, super in number of accomplishments.
Yeah,
for
super
sure.
And yeah, exactly. Well, and again, we're concerned about this idea being taken statewide with the forming of liberal Democrats and disgruntled rhinos and group up with the school systems and especially in counties that have primaries where you have low turnout, they can sweep them.
Yeah. Yeah. And people
aren't. That's a good argument.
You guys never saw it coming.
For close. Well, we knew that they were going to try, but we didn't have any idea what kind of effort they were going to put forth. Makes a good argument for closed primaries, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to justify not closing the primaries, how they could argue that we should have them open, but that's where we're at for now.
Yeah,
well, I'm still having, but we still got some time left, so I'm just going to, if there's anything that you want to talk about, I'm just going to kind of let you go here until the time runs out, if you're interested.
Yeah, we can talk. There's always plenty of good conservative ideas that can be talked about. Here in Sumner County, being part of the Middle Tennessee economy, we've fared the last few years of the Obama administration better than most. Our revenues have exceeded expectations every year for the last 3 years, and looks like they're going to be good this year too. And I know a lot of the, especially in West Tennessee and East Tennessee, as you can look at the state budget and see how much below projections they are for revenue, that not doing as well. And you got to be careful of the false argument that the liberals use. It's always for the children, and we have had a lot of people. That's their argument. We've had a lot of people move in from Wisconsin, New Jersey, Pennsylvania areas, and a lot of them are economic refugees that are trying to escape the high taxation and overregulation, but then some of them are the cause of the problem of where they came from, and now they're trying to spread it to us. So it's a constant battle. I had one guy from Wisconsin just constantly badgering me to raise taxes. I said, man, I looked at the tax burden in Wisconsin, where you're from, and the tax burden in Tennessee. Your tax burden's half again higher in Wisconsin than it is in Tennessee. That's not what I want for Tennessee.
Yeah.
And, you ought to listen to the horror stories of people. I got a friend that from New Jersey that moved here about 6 years ago. She said her mother had to sell her house. She had a 1,500-square-foot older ranch house built back in the 70s. The taxes were $9,600 a year on that house.
Good Lord.
I know. She said she had
to
sell it. She couldn't. Her husband had passed away, and she just didn't have the income to pay the taxes and live, too. And she said that's not uncommon in that part of the – and that wasn't even one of the highest tax jurisdictions. This was outside the city. So if it had been in the city, it would have been even higher. So it's just kind of a preview of what we've got coming if we don't stop these people from having the influence that they've shown that they can muscle their way in, just like they did here in Sumner County in May. So,
yeah.
Need to get the word out. And this will be one of the previews to get it out on.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate you coming on. I think we're probably going to cut it a little short tonight because I am having some
okay.
time issues. But I greatly appreciate you coming on, letting us know about this. And we definitely need to look in the other counties, you know, see if that pops up. When you get that report, I'd like to maybe we could have you back on if there might.
Okay. As soon as they become available, I'll contact you and we'll see what we can do.
Okay, when will it be available? Do you know?
I don't remember the date. It's whenever the final primary reports are required under state law. Now, I just don't remember what date. Seems like it's in about the middle of this month, but I don't have that date right in front of me.
Okay. Okay. And you were one of the county commissioners, correct?
Yeah, I was first elected in 1990, served a term, didn't run again. Then I ran again in 2006, and I was finishing my second term with leave office at the end of August. And there was a conservative coalition that had governed Sumner County for the last 5 or 6 years. We got the lowest property tax rate in Middle Tennessee and one of the most highly rated school systems, good county services, sheriff's office, road department, just, you know, what's not to like in Sumner County is what the bottom line is. And so they had to find them an issue, which is the schools are underfunded. And it's all the county commissions. So we're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of a 20% tax increase by this time next year.
Wow. But now your schools were...
Look up Sumner County schools. They're some of the highest rated in the state. Davidson County spends $3,000 a year more per kid than we do, and we outrank them in every measurable category.
Apparently the soccer mom figure that out.
Now, most of them are young and naive, and, you know, little Johnny going to be a rocket scientist. We'll just spend a little more money on him. So,
you know,
I was probably the same way when I was 25. I was probably the same way.
All right.
Okay, I guess you've gone. I can't hear anything. So once I get some numbers together, I'll give you a call.
Oh, thanks again.
All right,
folks.
Good night.
Thank you for coming on. All right, folks. I apologize for the issues. I don't know where they stem from, but I will try to figure that out before the show next week. Next week we will have May Beavers, and we will. So I hope you'll join us. Also, remember, Ticked Off Tuesdays, and I will. Thanks for listening. I hope to hear from you again. God bless. This is Dave Vance signing off for Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media, where America always.